A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Israel of Cherry Hill. Shabbos Kuf Mem Beis Amud Beis, Shabbos 142b, pagination page 284, five lines from the top, a new Mishnah. Our Mishnah is going to be addressing different cases where the item that we want to use is not quite fitting for Shabbos because of a problem, and we want to see if we can fix it. One case is that something mukta is upon it, and we want to remove it. And another case, which we will discuss, is that the item is dirty, and we want to somehow make it good. But that's the theme of the Mishnah. It's a good item. It's something I want, a pillow, a bottle of wine, a shoe. It's something acceptable. There's something wrong with it, and I'm trying to fix it. And what am I allowed to do on Shabbos? The Mishnah states, Ha'evin sha'al pi ha'chavis, if you have a stone that's on top of a barrel, they would use it as a, presumably was being used as a closure of some sort, but wasn't designated as such. We discussed this in a previous session. This is the actual Mishnah that was being referenced. Mata al tzida, you could turn the barrel on its side, vino fellas, and the rock will fall off. The problem is that the rock is mukta. I can't pick the rock off with my hands, but if I flip it off, it falls off. Haisa ben achavios, if the bottle was among other bottles, and I'm worried that by leaning it over on its side, it's going to break a bottle of wine. So I can't really just turn it on its side. Magbia, you're allowed to lift the bottle, or mata al tzida, and then turn it on its side, vino fellas, and the rock will fall off. A problem here is the principle called bosis, that the barrel, the bottle, has become a base for the rock. The rock is being placed upon it, so its resting place is here. It's similar to the candlesticks that are on the table. So the candlesticks are mukta because they have the candles burning upon them. And therefore the table becomes a basis to the candlesticks. And we have a question, can you move the table even after the candles have burned out? You have one layout for the room for Friday night. You have a different layout for Shabbos morning. Are you allowed to move the table? Some people, even if you're running an event, you want to be able to move the table so you could sweep comfortably the entire area. So you're dealing with a similar problem that the table is becoming a basis, is becoming a base. And here's the question, what's your solution? What are you allowed to do? Now, if you were reading this Mishnah and you didn't know the Gemara, your response presumably would be that if you could figure out a way to flip the candlesticks off without actually touching them, you would do it similar to lifting the bottle of wine off and flipping the rock off. And I guess you would line some pillows on the side of the room and you would flip the candlesticks onto the pillows. They wouldn't break. You would come up with something creative, and that's really wrong. And that's the expression that we say, don't paskin from a Mishnah. You have to first see the Gemara and see the commentary. If you'll drop down for a moment to the Gemara, which is like three lines later, Amar Avuna Amar Rav, and again, we saw this once brought in the Gemara, Lo Shanu Ela B'Shocheyach. The only reason you're allowed to lift the bottle and flip the rock off, or in my comparison, flip the candlesticks off, that type of stuff, is only B'Shocheyach, because the item was left there by mistake. You forgot it there. You did not intend the rock to remain there. You put it there for a moment, for whatever reason. The candlesticks, this would not apply. You never forget the candlesticks burning in honor of Shabbos. You don't forget them on the table. Avo b'meniach, when you leave it there intentionally, nasa basas l'davar ha'asar, it becomes a base for something that's forbidden to be moved on Shabbos. In our case, the candlesticks. In the case of the Mishnah, the rock on top of the bottle. And you would not be allowed to do this solution, which is move it to a location where I'm happy to flip it off. And going back to the Mishnah, it's only because the rock was forgotten there. Otherwise, basically, once you're done with the Gemara, this is actually, it sounds like a permissive ruling. Here's what you're allowed to do. It's actually a restrictive ruling. The item was left there intentionally. You have no recourse because it becomes a base and you can't do anything. Our suggestion with the table is always to put something there that's considered more valuable than the candlesticks. And then the table becomes a basis for both, and you would be allowed to move it after the candles go out. Back in the Mishnah, we're about the eighth line at the end of a line. Ma'osh al hakar. If you have some money that's on a pillow. So what's the problem here? And what does this have to do with the first case? Why are these grouped together? The answer is, like I mentioned, you have things that are perfectly permitted items, but something mukta is interfering. And I'm asking, what can I do as a solution? I have a pillow. Pillow is a great thing to use on Shabbos. Really not a problem, right? Shabbos stands for? Shina b'Shabbos Tainug. Good rest on Shabbos, it's an enjoyment. As long as you don't overdo it, you can use a pillow, no problem. You got money on the pillow, what are you going to do? Menares akar v'heino flos. Adjust the pillow so that the money falls off. And that's the solution. Let's continue. Haisa alav lishleshes. Let's say you have some filth on the pillow. Again, why is this in the same Mishnah? But with our theme, it's exactly the same thing. It's a perfectly good item, which is dirty. I can't use it the way it is. Can I get the filth off so that I should be comfortable using it? Mekancha b'samartut. You're allowed to wipe it with a wet rag. This is a fascinating thing. In halacha, it's brought very clearly. A wet rag, the rag was wet from before Shabbos, slightly wet. And you're allowed to do it very gently, in a way that you're not squeezing anything out of the rag. But, apparently, a wet rag does something better in the way it cleans the surface than having used a totally dry thing. This is extremely restrictive and is generally not practiced because we're not experts at knowing exactly how wet is acceptable. This is a similar argument with baby wipes. If they would be very, very not wet, I won't call them dry because that's not a baby wipe, but if they're very, very not wet, many poskim say it's fine because you're not wiping any wetness out of the thing. It's just that the thing functions better because it's wet. But the minute it's wet enough to be emitting wetness, then it's restricted. Then you're not allowed to do it. Why are you not allowed to do it? There's something called schita, squeezing on Shabbos, and it comes up in two applications. One is squeezing from a thing that can be cleansed, like a cloth, and the other is squeezing out of anything, even if it's not something that we're cleaning, but simply the same way that you're not allowed to squeeze an orange on Shabbos, you're emitting water, tolda of dash, so emitting water from anything that has absorbed the water. Even if it's not malabing, cleansing on the item, because the item is not a legitimate cloth, but it's still restricted because you're squeezing out. Not allowed to even handle something that is so wet that is tofach amanas lahatfiach, that you would touch it, you would get your hand wet enough that you would wet something else as a result. There's enough wetness there, that's also restricted.
And it should be the same method should be used to clean up your jacket, and I thought,
We can't. Yeah, it's very restricted. This Mishnah is giving a leniency that's brought in halacha, but is debated whether it has practical application or not. But I think it's important to be aware of what the restriction is and what the logic is, and not just to blanketly say everything's forbidden. We would say if something's very surface dirt, to wipe it with your hand, let's say, give it a flick, that custom is. But not to give a rub if it starts getting dirty. If it was dirty, not to give a true rub. Haizah shel ar, in contrast, if it is leather, nosdim alav mayim ad shetichla, you're allowed to put water on it until it cleans itself. You wouldn't be allowed to rub, but you would be allowed to pour water on it. There is discussion whether there's a difference between soft leather or hard leather. A lot of things to debate, but I thought it was worth introducing the principle, you're dealing with a principle of malabin, cleansing an item, or dosh, squeezing something to emit, intentionally or unintentionally, depends on the case, the water that is contained therein. Yeshakoach, have a great day.